Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, we have a schedule for the Preds. Monday night game one, Wednesday night game two, Friday night Bridgestone Arena, 6 o'clock early puck drop. 6 o'clock Friday at Bridgestone Arena, Sunday TBD at Bridgestone Arena, and then we go from there. We've got a schedule for the Titans, and apparently we've got the game of all games on Sunday Night Football. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go on the road to the New England Patriots. Now, I can only believe that every network begged the NFL to give them Tampa Bay at New England. I think it's going to be a ratings bonanza.
Oh, everyone is going to go bonkers for that game.
The whole week. Tom Brady's already posted a picture about it. But, you know, Tom is very respectful, and Tom is very... Then there's Tom Sr. Tom Sr. went on 98.5, the Sports Hub Boston radio station. And, you know, Tom Sr. in the past has been very candid with his takes. Here's what Tom Sr. said about Tom Jr. going up to Foxborough to take on Belichick and the Patriots.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So wow. It's a pretty fun time.
Wow. So, I mean, hey, you got Cowboys on that opening night, and then I think it's Atlanta. Then you got a tough West Coast trip against the Rams. That's going to be a short week for your guy there to get ready. But you still think it's 4-0 coming out of the gate?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'd be. Yeah, I actually, they're all tough.
Yeah.
You look at them and there are no walkovers. But, you know, coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
So it's like I'm listening to this, and it's like Dad is talking, you know, is basically writing checks that now Tom has to cash. Then he kind of pulls back. You know, hey, we're still, Patriots are our second favorite team, and we're not going to root against anybody. We get to root for the Patriots, but obviously our favorite team is Buccaneers. We're going to beat them handedly.
Like, that was such a respectful way to say it, too. I have a feeling we'll beat them handedly.
I'm sure Tom loves that. Tom Sr., all about it. Beating them handedly and going 4-0. The most un-Brady-like talk. I can't wait till Belichick hears that. I can't wait to know what Belichick thought of that. Now, Belichick will never tell anybody what he thought of it, but I just can't wait. Time now for headlines with Caroline. Or now.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We've got a Predator schedule.
That is true.
First, the Preds will travel to Carolina on Monday and Wednesday, back here in Nashville Friday, Sunday, Carolina Tuesday, Nashville Thursday, Carolina Saturday, if needed, if the game goes into all seven games. Now, Adam Vingan wrote his ideal lineup for game one. First line, Forsberg, Johansson, Tolvanen. Second line, Yarncroak, Granlund, and Cunnan. Third line, Arvidsson, if he's healthy. John Hines said that Victor Arvidsson practiced with a full team today. They will see how he responds in the next couple of days of practice. So kind of TBD on Arvidsson, Halla, and Duchesne for that third line. And then, of course, the herd line in Trenton, Sissons, and Jeannot. Any game in there that you could point out that is must win, you know, absolute, just, you know, you got to go out and get it.
Let me state for the record that I think Matt Duchesne, I don't know if you guys saw this, I think he's politicking on Robbie and Rex Road. He said that he really thought that they played well together when he played with Duchesne and Johansson. I forget what the exact line was, but it sounded to me like Matt Duchesne, not saying it, you know, he's just... It sounded like Matt Duchesne was politicking for that first line spot. And I got to be honest, I'm not totally against it.
I'm not either.
I don't think you can put Tolvanen. Tolvanen then has to go to the second line where he's probably with Granlund and...
Either Yarncroak or Cunnan.
Probably Cunning.
I don't think you can break up that second line, though.
I know. But Duchesne, I'm telling you, it sounded like he was politicking.
He kind of was.
And I'm not saying that I'm giving in to whatever Matt Duchesne wants, but I just think that Elie Tolvanen, I don't know if he's still hurt or not, he has not been the same since the injury. And he's got to be on the roster because they have to have him for the power play, and he has to play on one of those two lines because he ain't a bottom six forward. But I'd be willing to give it a chance. I mean, the idea, too, is whoever loses automatically changes up their line right after they lose. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some changes if they lose game one. With me, with Arvidsson, he's either 100% or he's not going.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's not. If this were Johansson, or if this were Forsberg, or, and I'm not sure Forsberg is 100%, but if this were Yossi, or Ellis, or Ekholm, or Carrier, or if that were one of those guys, and they were like, hey, I'm 75%, I'd say, okay, you go. Because I'd rather have, say, Alex Carrier in the lineup at 75% than have to put Ben Harper in the lineup. Arvidsson has to be 100%, or he is of no use to me, especially in a series where it's going to be big and physical. We had Matthias Ekholm on earlier today. He was talking about the physicality they're going to have to play with in order to beat Carolina. I have no interest in Arvidsson out there if he's not 100%, and I have a hard time believing he would be 100%. I probably would scratch Arvidsson.
Which, for game one, you're saying, for the road trip?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't scratch. I mean, like, he's still on the team.
Well, yeah, of course.
But, yeah, I probably would if he's not 100%. And again, 99%, scratch him. 100%. If he's not 100%, then I think that I would probably, if he's not 100%, I think I'd probably go the other way. And I'd set him. I would. What's next?
Who'd you fill in that third line?
Richardson.
Okay.
So, and I don't love Richardson. I think he kind of stinks. But again, this is going to be, you need physicality. You need to slow them down. And I'm not sure Arvidsson does that for you. What's next?
NFL writers at ESPN each wrote their expectations for the season following the schedule release. And I can't, you know, bank on all of these. It's exactly like, you know, the 2022 mock draft came out after the day after the 2021 draft. So, you know, you can't always bank on all of these. Injuries happen. Things happen throughout the season. But this is what TD said about the Titans' predictions for this year. The Titans will sweep their AFC East opponents. Going against the revamped Patriots and an improved Dolphins roster will be a challenge. The biggest threat to the sweep will be the Bills, which we kind of agreed. But they have to travel to Nissan Stadium to face the Titans at home. Now, I don't think the Bills being on the road will make that big of a difference in them winning or losing. I still think that may be a loss for the Titans, but interesting to see TD say that.
Titans have really struggled with Buffalo and Buffalo. Titans spanked Buffalo at Nissan Stadium last year. I mean, spanked. I think it was like 42-16. Every year, as I said, I go through this and I take all the games that they will win, should win, toss-ups, should lose, will lose. And every year they win a game that they should win, or they lose a game they should win, or they will win, and they win a game that I think that they will lose. I think of a game like, for example, that they will win. Arizona at the Jets, at Jacksonville, Houston, Jacksonville.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's a should win, probably not a will win. But I think there's probably a slip in there somewhere. I think there's probably a game that they would surprise you. I don't think they're going to beat the Rams on Sunday Night Football. I mean, again, they're not very good on the West Coast. They're not very good on Sunday Night Football, though very rarely do they actually play on Sunday Night Football. I don't think they're going to beat the Rams on Sunday Night Football. That could be one that surprises me. Buffalo would surely surprise me. And if they beat Buffalo, to TD's point, that would be a great way to kick off those five games. You know, that murderer's row stretch that they go through.
And interestingly enough that you mentioned a slip-up, because the Jacksonville Jaguars beat reporter Michael DeRocco, his expectation for the Jags this year. He said the Jags will end their 8-year losing streak in Nashville against the Titans.
So TD has just texted me, wants to point out those are bold predictions.
Bold predictions, okay.
So as in something that is bold. Thus, okay. It'd be easy to sit back and say, I think the Titans are going to beat, they're going to sweep the Jags. And so basically the opposite of your gambling picks yesterday. They make bold
picks. Don't talk
picks.
To me about making bold picks, Mr. Grizzlies Moneyline.
I picked the Mariners to win yesterday.
That was bold.
I make it
that
bold
was bold
picks.
Of you.
I just went over all the games, and I just every game that we played, you know, you just made the easy pick. And so, and you got burned on it a couple times.
I did.
So there you go.
I did.
All right, what's next?
So, Tennessee became the quickest state to reach $1 billion in sports betting. So, Tennessee sports betting became legal in September, November of last year.
Probably all those people using FanDuel Sportsbook promo code JGM.
Probably. And Pennsylvania was the first legal sports betting state in 2018, and Tennessee beat them by a landmine. Tennessee made $2 million in sports bets in the month of April, which was a huge step back from almost $200 million in the month of March. Sounds like people in Tennessee love betting on their March Madness. But huge feat for the state of Tennessee and sports betting.
Sounds like we need more gambling segments.
Carolines 2.0.
We need more gambling segments on the radio show. I would say this. If you're a state, Kentucky, if you're a state that is still not ready to legalize gambling, get off your ass and do it. And I still think table game. I think, first of all, I hate like this whole thing about like it's online sports books. Like, why can't we have brick and mortar sports books? What's the difference? I think that's so dumb. Secondly, I get worked up. I think table games, I think casinos should be legal. I do. And I think it's ridiculous that they're not. Tax it. Make the money. Give it to the people. Fine. There you go. But I guess that gets me set off something else. But clearly gambling is very popular in the state of Tennessee, and everybody who lives in Scottsville, Kentucky can't place a bet on their phone. They had to drive across the border, Franklin, Bowling Green, you name it, they can't bet. You know what, you guys, hey, all those smart people out there that hate gambling and hate weed, good for you. You guys are leaving billions of dollars that will be taxed on
the table. How's the weather up there on your high horse?
Yeah, exactly. What's next?
Teddy Bridgewater spoke out and said, kind of spoke out against the Carolina Panthers and the way that they practice, the way that they do things on their offense. He said, I'll just say this, Joe Brady's growth, they'll have to practice different things in different ways. He said, we don't do much of 2-minute drills. We don't practice in the red zone. We didn't practice on Fridays. You walked through the red zone stuff, and then on Saturday you came out and practiced red zone, but you've only got like 15 live reps. Now, is this a genuine concern that you think the Panthers would take seriously, or is this just Teddy saying, hey, old team, you know, middle finger?
I first met Teddy Bridgewater. I was a senior in college. U of L Athletics has a welcome back dinner that starts off every year, and it's for the athletes and the staff and everything else. And I was just at a table, me and another dude at a table, and some football players sat down, and Teddy Bridgewater was one of them, and he was a freshman. I think he still had braces at the time.
Oh.
And I was like, so you're the recruit. And I knew right then, I knew Teddy was a good dude. Teddy was a good dude and a good kid. I then later covered Teddy when I was back on the radio his junior year. I covered Teddy. So I've known Teddy for a long time. Let me say this. Teddy Bridgewater's been famous for what? A decade now? You know, 8-9 years? Mm-hmm. You ever heard a single controversial thing out of Teddy Bridgewater?
No, not okay. At all. Loved him when he was in New Orleans.
So, again, like I'd say, I know Teddy pretty well, or I know him better than, say, the average person. Teddy's not saying something like that if there's not a reason he really wants to say it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who literally would never hurt a fly, would do anything for his teammates, anything for the guy next to him. And so I saw this, what you were talking about, and immediately knew. We all have those friends that are complainers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, so-and-so is complaining. Well, they complain. You know, that's what they do. They're a complainer. Screw them. Teddy's the opposite. Teddy's not a complainer. So if I was a Panther fan and I heard this, I would be concerned. I would be worried that Teddy Bridgewater isn't happy, you know, with the way that we practiced. And it would make me reconsider. Like, if I was Sam Darnold, I think I'd be like, oh, let's see if we can practice a little bit better. And again, I don't know exactly what Teddy's supposed to do with practice or what quarterbacks are supposed to do. But I'm going to guess that the guy that has played for, I believe, North Turner, Zimmer, and I think maybe North Turner, him, and then played for Sean Payton, and then plays for the Panthers. I'm going to guess he probably knows what good coaching is.
Right.
And so I side with Teddy Bridgewater on that one. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Analytics. They give the Predators a 34% chance, according to The Athletic, of beating the Carolina Hurricanes.
No moneypuck.com this time?
I don't mess with MoneyPuck.com. We're divorced.
Good
thing. Good thing that we don't care what the analytics say. We will discuss. Do we think that that number is fair? How? What do we think? Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving, live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Hey, Coach, your guys have talked probably for the last month or so at least about how they felt that they've already been in that playoff mentality and playing playoff hockey to try and clinch a spot. I know every team seems to raise their level at this time of the year, but how do you view that situation? Do you need to emphasize that anymore to your team? Do you feel like they're already there?
Well, I think it's really about preparing for the Carolina series. And part of it is understanding how we played, the mentality we play with, the consistency level that we played with, not get too high, not get too low, but the readiness we need to be able to play with. And I think that's the focus. It's not so much what happened in the regular season. That's in the past. Both teams have a reset. Regular season's over. We both have the same amount of time to get ready for the series. So, you know, our focus has to be on not what happened. I think we've taken the lessons from that. But now it's an opportunity for us to get even better.
There you go. That was John Hines as the Predators get set to take on Carolina. Terry Crisp will join us in less than 10 minutes. So I'm not an analytics guy. In fact, I watched the broadcast on ESPN. They had the StatCast for baseball. And I watched it the other day when the Braves played because I couldn't listen to A-Rod anymore. A-Rod is terrible.
Not the best.
And so I couldn't listen to it anymore. And they brought on a guy who was talking about one of the pitchers on the Braves, a guy named Luke Jackson, who's terrible. And he was like, Braves fans don't like Luke Jackson, but I like him because he's got good movement on his slider. And last night, Luke Jackson got in the game and immediately gave up a home run that cost him the game. So that tells you why I think of analytics. But the Athletic analytics give the Predators a 34.8% chance to win this series. In fact, it's Carolina, 10% chance for a sweep, 19% in five games, 18% in six games, 18% in seven games. For the Predators, 4% chance of a sweep, 7% in five, 12% in six, 12% in seven. Do you think that 34.8%, roughly a one-third chance, is too high or too low for the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, then again, I did give the Predators a 30% chance to win the Cup, so I don't know if I'm the best person to ask about the probability winning.
And they've gotten a lot better since then. So you're probably now going to go like 45% chance of them winning the Cup.
I think I'm up to 70, but no, I'm kidding. But a 30% chance-ish, I think that's fair. I don't have an incredible feeling about them winning this series, but there is that glimmer of hope, and I think that 30% chance does that glimmer of hope justice.
So I'm going to say it like this.
It's on the higher end, but...
And they've got a whole article that explains how they got there with all these numbers and things, and you know how I feel about all that.
Oh, I do.
Oh,
you love it.
It's got to go.
You love it.
So I think the series comes down to this. Can the Predators get Carolina to play their game, or do the Predators have to keep up with the speed of Carolina? That ultimately, I think, is what will decide the game. I also think the ways in which they win the series are Saros has to steal two games. They have to get lucky once, and they have to just straight up beat Carolina in another game. I think they proved Saturday night they can straight up beat Carolina in a game. I think Saros can steal a game. So now the question is, do I think Saros can steal two games against this team that's really good, and can we bank on them getting lucky? I'm going to put it at 20%. I think it's a 1 in 5 chance that the Predators win this series. I think there are so many little things that they have to do in order to win this series. They have to dictate the pace of the games. They have to be the healthier club through, because they're not going to sweep them like they swept the Blackhawks in 2017. This is going to go, if they're going to win this, it's going to go 6 or 7. They're going to have to dictate the pace of the series. They're going to have to be the more healthy team when all is said and done. They are going to have to out-goaltend Carolina, and I think they're going to have to steal one of the games on the road. You know, one of those games in games 1 or 2. I know, like, they obviously have to win a road game in order to win the series no matter what. But when I say steal a road game, I'm talking about games 1 or 2. That's a lot of stuff against a really good team. So I'm going to give it a 1 in 5 chance. As of right now, I'm giving it a 1 in 5 chance. a 20% chance that the Predators win this series, which is up 20% from the 0% chance I gave them against the Blackhawks in 2017.
It's an improvement.
That being said, I think 20 is a little too generous. I'm not here to crap on the Predators. I'm just telling you, I think 20 is a little, like, I hear myself say 20% chance, and I think, okay, way to go, Joe Homer. You know, that I get a little worried. I'm going to go 20%. And I think everybody should be happy with 20%. Like, the diehard fans that hear this and are like, oh, my goodness, Jared, you hate the Predators, you this. 20% is a... It's not likely it's going to happen, but that's
a
fair percent that it actually happens. You know, this isn't like I'm giving them a 3% chance of winning the series. I'm giving them a 20% chance to win this series, which is significantly less than the analytics because I think the analytics are off. So, again, I think a lot of things are going to have to happen their way. A lot of things are going to have to go their way, sure. But 20%, that's my number. Terry Crisp, we'll ask Crispy what he thinks of my number. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025 if you've got a Preds thought. Crispy joins us next. Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game. Stillman & Company, again, the schedule is out. Game one Monday night. I was a little hopeful we'd have game one Sunday night. I don't know why I was hopeful we'd have game one Sunday night. But game one Monday night. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So that's good for the Stillman & Company program, and it'd be nice if the Predators could just go ahead and sweep and then give us a week to talk about that and figure out what we're going to do for a whole week and then get on to the next round. But I'm not going to count any chickens before they hatch. Monday night, though, the Predators will get the series started. We had Mattias Ekholm on the show earlier today. Mattias Ekholm said, hey, we saw when we try to play their way up there what happens. We saw what happened on Saturday night when we played our way. And I think that's probably one of the whole keys to the series. Terry Crisp joins us now, Bally Sports. And Bally Sports, by the way, will have coverage of the first round. All the games will be on Bally Sports, and as will, they'll be on national television. But Crispy joins us now here on the program. Crispy, Preds, Canes, they're the underdog. Mattias Ekholm on the show today talked about there being really, you know, a lack of pressure on the Predators, and that pressure is what makes you in the playoffs. What do you think of this series?
You know what? I just heard you earlier talking with Ekki and whatnot. He's dead on right. If we play our game and play it smart, we can run with them. And we've proven that in the last. Now, everybody was poo-poo in the last game. No, not so. I mean, it was an even draw on who was out of your lineups and whatnot. And that one sort of ticked me off when I was reading some of the articles, but that's sports. But the last two games we played them, like, they're skilled, they're deep. They got some pretty, but when our guys come to play their game, like Coach Hines has always said, we're aggressive, we're on the forecheck, we're playing the body, and we're not taking bad penalties, and we can run with them. But the biggest thing is we got to stick to our game, be physical, but be smart, stay out of the penalty box, and if we get the goaltending we had, hey, it'll be a good series.
Crispy, if you were coaching the Predators, knowing how good Carolina is, how comfortable would you feel, or how good would you feel about your chances in this series, given the way UC Saros has been playing?
I'd give them good chances. I mean, I've seen UC in it. I've seen it before. Go down to the field. I mean, Jerry Help and I were talking about this not very long ago. When, first time it was against Detroit when we made it, and they had... I don't know if it was Howard in there or the other kid. I forget his name, the goaltender. Anyways, we blew him out of the water the first two games. And they pulled him, the goaltender, that starter, and put in Hasek. And Hasek just slammed the door on him. I mean, just literally he himself put us up. And we had them on the ropes and had them where we wanted them on the first goalie. So, and I had been through playoffs before. And I've been with playoffs who... we've got beat in the final, Stanley Cup finals, and our goalie was, the Conn Smythe winner, MVP of the playoffs.
Crispy, Matt Duchene scored twice in that season finale. And I keep thinking, you know, we got into it last week about Duchene. I keep thinking if they get him going and they get Johansson going, they really can match up well with Carolina. How important is that going to be for you to watch as they get the puck going on game one?
Scott, truly, paramount. I mean, hell, we got to have Duquesne, Bull 8, all 8-7, Joey, all 8-7, and Forsberg, all 8-7. So those are the three guys that we're looking to. When we're looking at other teams like Aho and the guys that they got, Niederreiter, et cetera, that's the guys we're looking to carry it. And Coach Hines keeps saying it. We need more production out of them, which is fine and dandy. But in the playoffs, you know, they're a little bit tight games. Most of them don't open up. So be that as it may, if it's going to be a tight game, then if the production is not there, the other side of the game, guys, smart defensive work. Play both ends of the ice. No loitering in the neutral zone. No series picking down while your guys are getting slammed in the defensive zone. Play both ends, 200-foot game, and we'll be fine. But they have to buy into that part of the game also.
Crispy, I give the Predators a 20% chance to win this series, and I think some people will be like, oh, that's picking them to lose, or that's, first of all, normally they do better when I pick them to lose anyways, but I think it's 20%. And a lot of that comes from the two games that they played at Carolina a couple of weeks ago. And I know, you know, Saturday's game was great, but I look at the Canes. You brought this up before they played those two games at Carolina, and you said, hey, I know everyone's talking about how good Tampa is, but I think Carolina might be better than Tampa. Crispy, I look at the names on that team. They are loaded, and they're experienced, and they're well-coached, and I think this is going to be a really difficult series because I have to look across and see what Carolina's got. What do you see in Carolina?
You know what, Skinner, I totally agree with you if you're going on paper. But let's be honest, if you're going on paper, the top three in our division are better than anybody.
Sure.
Certainly they're better than us on paper. Tampa is. Florida Panthers are. Carolina is. So if we're looking at that, from that point of view, we should just mail in the points, I guess, and say, well, we'll just sort of stay home and be with the kids and the wife and give them the points. We're not mailing in anything. But you're right by that. But again, I've been through so many playoffs that, and we've been through them where we knocked teams off that, you know, on paper, they should have whipped us. They should have nailed us. And we've been on the other side where we should have won and should have beat them and sure. didn't get it done. So in playoffs, you know, you and I both know. It's just flip a coin and whoever gets the breaks. But having said that, if you're going to stay in the running with Carolina or the other two teams I mentioned, we've got to be full bore. We can't be three quarters of our game. We've got to be 100% and over the edge of that one. And let's be honest about it. That's what we want and that's what we expect from our players.
Crispy, where is the biggest, Terry Crisp with us, where is the biggest advantage the Predators have in this series on Carolina if they were to take advantage of one?
You know, being honest with you, I'm looking forward. We match them in goaltending, so I'll put the Saros and Rini up against their goaltenders on that one. Where I really like the Carolina team to tip the scales is their defense core. They're big, strong. They love to hit. And the other scary part is not only are they big, strong, and love to hit, they're mobile. And they can move. They move the puck by themselves. They pass it well. That's the one big, like, we all talk about how they got, like, seven guys over 40 points and et cetera, on their offense and all that. That's all well and good. But I think their defense core is the key to their game.
Yeah, Dougie Hamilton certainly has made huge strides since he ended up in
Carolina.
Well,
that big Hawkins. How big is Hawkinpaw? Like 10 foot, 250 pounds or something? He looks it's like every time he's out there.
It's like Tenorti with wheels. I can't believe I said that. Crispy, I do wonder this. If you're the Predators and you're inside the room, and I know that, you know, we know what coach talk is, Crispy. How important inside the room is the discussion about just get one at Carolina? You know, you got two games, you get one, you're coming back a Friday night, 12,000 fans at Bridgestone Arena, just get one in Carolina. How much actual discussion is there inside a room like that?
A lot. The phrase you hear is, you got to steal one. Let's steal one. And the phrase is, winning your home games and you got to steal one, especially when in our situation right now this year. So whether it be you go in there the first two and steal one, or even get lucky two. But if you don't, you come home, you have to make sure they don't come in here to really tip the scales. And the phrase you'll be using is, when you're looking, say, at home ice advantage is that paramount, which sometimes it is, other times not. Yeah, you got to go in there and steal one. If you can ever do it in the first two, now you've taken everything away that they worked for all year long. home ice advantage.
How much you believe in home ice advantage? We had Matthias Ekholm on, and it's weird because, you know, the Winnipeg and the Dallas series, the Predators couldn't buy one at home when they needed it. And yet, I remember the 2017 run, and I was at all those games thinking, I don't know how anybody wins here. You've been through the wars. How important is the home ice?
Paramount for us, especially this year with our team. And we've had that condensed thing. We haven't had the fans all year long. And we know how, and we've said this so long, but it's around the league. You talk to any hockey people and have been here, listened to our games, have been in our building. They say they got the loudest fans they've ever heard. Now, Vegas will debate that with you. Chicago will probably debate it with you. They'd be the only two legitimate teams that could be debate the loud noise, the franticness that there is of our fans. So, to me, for our team and the amount of new guys that we have on this team, meaning the guys that David Coyle brought in from other teams, and the kids that have come up from the minors and are playing their hearts out, to play in front of a crowd like this, that's awesome. In a playoff, it just goes tenfold.
Crispy, I'm gonna put you on the hot seat for a second. I'm gonna say this. If we know Soros is starting the series, and Soros, I mean, what else can Soros do considering how well he's played? Would there be any point where you would make the move to Pekka? Like, let's say they lose the two games in Carolina. Would you go to Pekka for game three, or are you so committed to Soros now? Because he's obviously the goalie of the future, that unless he just stinks it up or gets hurt, you're staying with Soros through and through. How would you do this? And I ask this to you knowing that you are the world's biggest Pekka Rinne supporter there ever has been.
Being a coach and being honest with you, and especially in the first round, because if you don't win it, you don't go anywhere. You don't go. And if your goaltender is hot and he's healthy and he's ready to play, you play him. And I've been with teams that have played the goalie the whole way, never changed, never missed a game, and we've gone right through to the finals. And a couple we won, a couple we didn't win. But it all hinges on, if he's on his game, let's make sure that if we do happen to lose one or two, make sure we're pointing the finger in the right direction as to why that game was lost. Everybody always looks at the goalie, but look at how the defenseman played, or did the forwards come back and do their jobs. That's big time, hinges on all of that too. So as a coach, you take all those into consideration, and I can guarantee you that Coach Hines and his staff are talking every day with Soros and with Pekka Rinne. And I think the biggest thing that we have here is that the class guy that Pekka Rinne is. So it does happen that Coach runs Soros, and he's good and he's hot. Pekka Rinne will be the first one over the boards congratulating and patting him on the helmet.
I remember a couple years ago, you and I were in the locker room after morning skate, and Pekka walked in and started to take his pads off. And Pekka was sitting down, taking his pads off, and all of a sudden I just hear, "Hey, Crispy!" And you start going over there, and I could tell you guys are best buddies. I'm not surprised by that. But if you were a coach on this team or a manager on this team, how much would you be lobbying Pekka, especially after the other night, but just in general, how much would you be lobbying him to try to get him to come back after this season?
I'd love to have him back. I mean, personally, I'd love it. I still think that Pekka has lots of hockey left in him. And I'm not saying he's going to run 55 games out of 80 some or whatever, but he would run, and when you needed him, he would be the one. And the one thing you do know, that if you're back, your back goalie or your second goalie, however you want to phrase it, he's put in to win games, not to just to take up space and time and give the other goalie a rest. And that's exactly what Pekka is very, very able to do, is to win and win. He's proven it. When Soros was hurt and out, Pekka carried this team on his shoulders this year when he had to. Last couple of games, I know they all poo-poo that 5-0 game, but if you look over the video on that game, Pekka was good. I mean, they come at him in every which way, every which angle, and he handled what I consider, I told you, the best team in our division. The best team is Carolina, and he threw a shutout at them.
Yeah, and I'll say this too about Pekka. You know, going back to the game, you know, I would say if Pekka gets put into this series or any series, I think everybody in the dressing room and everybody in the other team's dressing room says, oh, no, here he, you know. And not to say that Saros shouldn't go or that they don't have faith in Saros, but if they have to go to Pekka, everybody in that Nashville dressing room. It's not one of these, hey, you know, well, we're going with the backup goalie. Let's hope if we can win a game. If Pekka goes in there, those guys are going to believe they've got a chance to win. And I think that's
You're
a big
right.
thing in the playoffs.
You're right, Scott. That's a perfect phrase statement you just made. That if he does win, I guarantee you there'll be 18 guys out there playing their guts out to get him the win.
Yep, Terry Crisp, as always, Bally Sports will have the first round of the playoffs, so we'll get way more crispy coming up over the next couple of weeks. Crispy, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Giller, and to all of our fans out there, hey, the playing playoff time, we'll see you all at the rink.
Yep, we will see you at the rink, Terry Crisp, joining us on the program. I am going on next Friday. It's weird because it's like trying to make plans, and it's for next Friday. And so, like, you know, I called my dad today when the schedule came out. I said, hey, ticket for Friday. You want to come? My dad has gone, like, nowhere in the last year. He's gone to work. He's like one of these players in the NFL or in the NHL. Like, he's gone to work. He's gone home. Gone to work. He's gone home. So I told him, I was like, hey, got a ticket for you. Got a ticket for you. Not that I'm putting any pressure on him by bringing it up on the radio and that people are hearing, but he's got his shots. And, you know, I'm just saying. But I got a ticket for him. So, bizarre, like, you got planned out. It's like Friday. I'm thinking Friday. Yeah, Friday. Oh, no. Next Friday. But 12,000 fans at Bridgestone Arena. 615-737-1025. We'll get your thoughts. We got a bunch of Preds text to get to here on Stillman & Company. And, again, Crispy said one thing that I really believe in. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's kind of been the discussion like inside the room about this series?
No, I think obviously you know how our year went. It's been a lot of highs, a lot of lows. And when you come from a place where it's been really low and then you have that final stretch of 2 months of the season and you make it, I feel like we're at the point where just everyone's really excited. Nobody 2 months ago thought we would be here. I don't think so. When we go into this series, it's all positive. It's all not a bonus, I wouldn't say. That's not the right word to use. But obviously, everyone's just excited to be where we are and playing these meaningful games. And it's going to be a great challenge. They're a great team. I think we have shown as of late that we can be a great team as well. So we first and foremost will worry about what we can do and on our team, but we obviously know we got a great opponent and it's going to be a great series, and I think excitement would be the word I would use to describe what's going on right now.
That was Matias Ekholm on our show earlier today. Preds defenseman Crispy was on the show, and I asked Crispy, I said, you know, what's the biggest advantage Predators have? And Crispy was like, well, and goes right to goaltending. And I don't know how to feel about the goaltending in this series, which I'm sure we'll dive into a lot, you know, especially since game one's Monday, so I'm sure we'll have 4 hours on Monday of talking about game one. But I heard the Canes broadcaster today on Darren Donick and Chase. I heard Elliot Friedman on Darren Donick and Chase today, and they both kept pointing to goaltending. Goaltending, 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 goaltending. When Matias Ekholm talks about the energy that he feels like the team has, and when Crispy talks about how he would feel comfortable going into this series right now with those two goaltenders, do we think that you can rely on goaltending enough to get you through this series? Can we look at it and say, and this is probably the biggest question of the entire series, right? It's like almost like a baseball series where you've got the better pitching. Now, that lineup is loaded. Their bullpen is better. They play better defense. They won more games in the regular season, but you've got better pitching. And they always say that good pitching beats good hitting. We know that a goaltender, we saw Jonathan Quick do it. We saw Jordan Bennington do it. We saw Pekka Rinne do it. We saw Marc-Andre Fleury do it. I mean, we have seen goalies take teams to the cup final. And in the case of Jonathan Quick twice and Bennington, you know, they've literally won it. Do we feel that comfortable about the goaltending?
I mean, I think that you can definitely feel comfortable about the goaltending. I just don't want that to be what the Predators rely on in order to win this series, because if they continue to rely on goaltending, then they will not make it further in the playoffs. I think that UC Saros and Pekarinen, if he does play in this series, they can absolutely steal a game or two. It just...
They have to steal two.
I know, and that scares me.
They don't have any way of getting through this if they don't steal two. The goalie has to steal two. Again, the formula for me...
We've seen him do it before. That's a scary thing if that's what you're relying on.
We've never seen UC Saros do it in the playoffs, and that's where it starts to get a little complicated. You know, I mean, we can give him all the credit for what he's done, and he certainly has earned this opportunity. But last year, the Arizona series, 8.95 save percentage. That is not going to cut it. I think you're going to need like a 9.60 save percentage in order to win the series, and that is... asking a lot. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. First, let me tell you, ESPN 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 1025 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. What is in the text line? Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Ryan in Nashville says Preds do have one more slight advantage against the Canes, and it's playoff experience. I don't know how much I necessarily agree with that.
So I think you'd have to ask yourself, like, define experience. I mean, as a
franchise?
Like, the Hurricanes went to the Eastern Conference Final in 2019. Like, I forget, Ian, do we know how far Carolina got in the bubble series last year?
That is a good question. I know they beat the Rangers in the qualifying round, and then I think they lost to Boston at one point. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, the Rangers, or the Canes have experience.
Yeah, they lost in the first round to Boston, 4-1.
Those guys have experience. Tara Vianen, Trocheck, Aho, Dougie Hamilton's been to the Stanley Cup final before. I mean, they have experience. This idea, I do not give the Predators the edge in experience. If anything, I'm kind of glad that it feels like for this Predators group that the experiences of the past are kind of in the past. It's like, you know, in 2018 against Winnipeg, for sure, and in 2019 against Dallas, they were still fighting against the image of that 2017 team in terms of, you know, everybody had a cup level expectation because that 2017 team went to the cup final and got to game six. I don't think anybody walks into this series with a cup expectation for this team. I think anybody thinks anything can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't think anybody is sitting there saying, you know, I feel like this team is a cup contender. I don't believe one person means that if they say it. So the experience thing doesn't matter much to me. And honestly, I always ask this question, like, how much does playoff experience really matter? Like, it's something to talk about on the radio or television, or they've got all the experience and they know. And I ask this because Ryan Tannehill had never made a playoff start, and in his first one, he beat Tom Brady. The Titans, when they first opened their window, got to the Super Bowl. The next year, with all that playoff experience, lost in the first game against the Ravens. Like, what does the experience really mean?
It sounds good to say, and Matias Ekholm was mentioning pressure, and maybe if you've never experienced that kind of playoff pressure, it could make you crack a little bit. But at the end of the day, hockey is hockey. It doesn't matter where you're playing it or when you're playing it or what the stakes are, and I think these guys know that.
All right, what else in there?
Dylan texted in and said, do you think that there's any way that the Preds would have a way to win against Carolina in six games?
Sure. I mean, the thing about the playoffs for me is I think five or six is as likely, if not more likely, than seven. I mean, the thing about these series is they do, going back to Matias Ekholm's point about the pressure, is those things mount. You know, those things mount. If you struggle, you know, if you all of a sudden, let's say the Predators take game one and then the Canes win game two, but the Predators with the crowd behind them and whatever you want to call it, the Predators dominate game three, then all of a sudden game four is for all the marbles for the Canes. And that's where you say, okay, now you're really looking at the possibility of five or six. I don't think this has to go seven. There's kind of a part of me that hopes it goes seven just because
it'd be fun.
Ryan content. Forth's wedding is on that day, and I as
oh,
I,
mean.
I said earlier today that I was when he tweeted out, you know, your wedding is on the same day as a potential game seven. I literally laughed so hard because I felt his pain without having to feel the pain. I can't.
He's been talking about it for like a month too.
About the possibility of a Preds
about the possibility, and, yeah.
That is certainly there. Adam is up next here on Stillman and Company. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Jared, sorry. So I do have a thought today, man, and I'm worried about this playoff series. This is not the same team as 2017, you know that. And when I look at this team, like a month and a half ago, you guys, your whole show was about which players are we going to get rid of, who we're going to trade and build for the future. The team that got us here is not going to be playing. You're going to have to put all those dudes that were hurt back on the ice. So that's what I worry about. You're putting Duchesne, you're putting even Arvidsson and Forsberg weren't around for most of that run. So like the spirit that built this team that got you a playoff push, they're not going to be playing. So I worry about that, man.
I appreciate your call, Adam. I disagree. And I disagree because Tanner Jeannot is going to be out there. Yakov Trenin is going to be out there. Ellie Tolvanen is going to be out there. Alexander Carrier is going to be out there. Matt Benning is going to be out there. Like the guys you're talking about, they're going to be out there. UC Saros got you there. He's going to be out there. I disagree. I think that, you know, the blood that got you there, you stuck with a lot of it. I mean, Tanner Jeannot has a spot on the roster. He's in game one. He's in. He's in my opinion, before Arvidsson is in. Not that they do similar things because they don't, but I'm just saying that, like, Jeannot's spot is secure. He helped get you here. Trennan's spot is secure. He helped get you here. Sisson's spot is secure. Granlund's spot is secure. He helped get you here. Tolvanen helped get you here. He's there. Saros, Carrier, those guys are all in there. And I don't need to see Ben Harper in this series. Although, Darren got me all worried, Ian, about Ben Harper playing over Dante Fabbro.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off there, but that third pairing is going to be interesting to see what they decide to do there.
Okay, I'm going to say it like this. If they play Ben Harper over Dante Fabbro, somebody's losing their job. Because you're not bringing Dante Fabbro back if you bench him in the playoffs for Ben Harper. I'm sorry.
I guess they'd put Benning and Harper out there, maybe. Or Benning and Fabbro. See, that's the thing. You know, there's going to be a right-handed playing on the left if you do that.
Fabbro plays.
So, we'll
and you know
to
me,
see.
Ian. You know me. I'm not a huge Fabbro fan. Fabbro plays. Because if you bench Dante Fabbro in place of Ben Harper, if you bench Dante Fabbro, you lose Dante Fabbro. Because the players know, right? We always talk about this, about, you know, who should they play at quarterback? Well, because the coach, you know, the players know. Dante Fabbro knows how good Ben Harper is. And by that, I mean how good Ben Harper is not. He's not going to be okay with being on the bench. I would be stunned if they don't put Fabbro out there. That's just me. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, boy, we haven't talked about the coaching in this series, but it should at least be noted because apparently their coach is getting a lot of love. What's it mean for John Hines? That's next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.